This is Malachi Black, and you're watching Pro Wrestling for Life.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Pro Wrestling for Life, everyone. You know me, it's the X to the P to the A to the C. That's how Road Dogg used to announce me.
Yes,
when we were tag team.
So. I was so caught off guard by that. I was immediately taken back like 20 years when you said that. Yeah, I'm Nick Hausman. I have no cool way. Road Dogg's never introduced me. One time he punched me in the face at an indie show, but it was all for fun. So, yeah, Sean, we got a big show. You say exciting show, man. We obviously had big numbers last week. The most traffic show we've had in quite some time with Nick Gage and Matt Cardona last week. Wanted to follow up big. Want to send a huge thank you to our guest this week, Malachi Black, hot off of this dominant victory over Cody Rhodes last week on AEW. Really exciting time for him and Cody right now. And just really looking forward. I mean, this is a nearly hour-long conversation we got to have. And you two have some history together, Sean. I mean, we call him Tommy in this interview. You know, he's Tom because you guys are so familiar.
Okay. Yeah, that's just – I think a lot of people call him Tom.
Tommy. I don't know. Yeah, Nick. Malachi to me, Mr. Black.
Yeah, look, hey, just – it was really nice of him to give us an hour of his time. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, very grateful.
And, yeah.
You know, I hope everyone enjoys it.
Yeah, for sure. And at the end of the show, we're going to come back. We got our latest game show. It's going to feature returning contestant Brian Mullaney going heads up against Sean in a game that I've created that is based off of the recent wave of NXT releases that we've seen here. We can talk about that here in a second. Before we get to all the news today, I do want to do a personal plug here. This Friday, the debut of AEW Rampage, which Malachi Black very well may be a part of. If you're in Chicago, come out to Replay Lincoln Park. We got a free party. We're going to give away a bunch of AEW swag. It's part AEW supporting it. We want to thank AEW for supporting me and the show and everything like that. So if you are in Chicago area Friday night, come on out to Replay Lincoln Park. All right. Hey, Sean, we got it was a huge week of news. These 13 releases, like I just said, from NXT. There were all these changes that are being rumored. But before we get to any of that, man, you had a little trip this past weekend. You got to go out and attend a GCW show. This past Saturday, what was that like?
Yeah, it was this huge trip. It was 20 minutes down the road in an Uber. It's great. Ukrainian Cultural Center on Melrose. Beautiful, beautiful old venue. And they crammed about 1,000 people in there, Nick.
Man.
And when I say crammed, I mean crammed. And I mean, because people were standing up all the way out, damn near out the front entrance. And I know I saw people. I had an appearance the next day at a place called Jimmy's World. It's pretty famous here in East LA for, you know, it's a wrestling store. And some of the people that came said, yeah, they wanted to go to Game Changer Wrestling, and it was sold out, and they couldn't get tickets. So, yeah, man, and just, you know, real hungry young crew. Like, not like some of the guys aren't as young. Like Grim Reaper was there, who fucking killed it, by the way, in a scramble match. You know, Nick Gage at Dark Phoenix on top in a death match. And just some great stuff throughout the card.
Yeah, for sure. How was it you just know. You being in a locker room, man? It's got to be a while that you've been in a locker room and got to, you know, talk to young talent and be around it like that.
Oh, it was fine. It was great. You know, I just, you know, I like to be around the younger talent, feed off of some of their young energy.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. How was it? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And just, you know, if I have, and I have to, like, I have a small critique. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, but, like, it's all done with good intentions and trying to work your ass off and just have the best match possible. But, like, you know, by the time the guy that sold the tickets, I mean, I don't want to put it all on Nick Gage, but he's the top guy there.
Sure.
He should, like, if you're on the first match, you shouldn't be going out there and doing every fucking move, you know. And then they all got pops. But, like, there's only so much energy a crowd has.
Okay.
You know, there's not an infinite amount of fucking energy they have to keep popping all night. And keep fucking giving their all night. save some for the motherfuckers that are selling the tickets at the end of the show. Because I promise you, like, that first or second match, dude, super brain buster. You know that move Al Snow was talking about?
In an interview.
Super brain buster, or freaking, like, all in other, like, crazy move, and still, like, kick out on two. And, like, the place is going nuts. So when you're in the middle of a match like that, you think, okay, yeah, I'm doing great. But, like, dude, it's really selfish, Nick. And I know it's not trying to be selfish, but, like, if I put it in this kind of an example, like, okay, if they put catering out for everyone on the show, all right, and there's plenty, like it looks like there's plenty out there.
Sure, a lot
so
of catering.
Fuck it, right? So the guy in the first match goes, he just takes everything he fucking wants and just more and more, you know? And then by the time fucking, you know, intermission comes around, or whenever, like, say the guy, the main event guy comes and tries to get something from catering, it's all fucking gone. Or there's hardly anything to choose from, you know? Like, and it's not a perfect example, but, like...
No, that's a really good... I think that's a great metaphor.
You know? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you can't... Like, it's... I understand going out there and wanting to do the best you can, but you have to... Like, because, okay, here's what I'm getting at. You could take that guy that did that shit in the first... Those guys that did that the first or second match, can't remember which one it was.
Okay.
And they got... all them pops earlier. I mean, the fucking crowd was so fresh, Nick. Yeah. And I understand, man. It's like a drug. When you feel it, you want more. And so you just keep doing it, keep getting it and getting it. But if you took them and put them on after that death match, see how many fucking of those same pops they get. The place would be fucking dead for them.
Right.
They'd be doing all that shit to a fucking... If half the people might even leave. You know, All I'm saying is just try to look at the big picture. And man, if you're on first or second, leave something for the people that come on after you.
So,
but other than that, fucking awesome crew. Great, great show. Everybody loved it.
How was it getting in the booth? You got to call a little deathmatch action there, didn't you?
That's fine.
Yeah,
it was fine. No pressure. Like, I just showed up. Did, you know, I called it the big. There's a big upset. Chris Dickinson put this Warhorse Charlie or Charlie Boy.
Starboy Charlie.
Starboy Charlie. Yeah, and the guy worked for it. Like they were telling me, like, yeah, it's gonna be kind of 1-2-3 kiddish, but like it wasn't. Like, he actually worked his ass off, and it was a rematch.
Right. Like,
1-2-3 kid Razor slipped on a fucking banana peel, and I hit him with a moonsault.
Right.
You know, and caught him out of nowhere. So, but anyways, it was cool to call that match and you know, call that moment. It was a nice, really nice moment for everyone, especially for that kid, right? Like, Dickinson did a nice job,
That's awesome.
Putting him over and respectful at the end and everything. And, man, it was crazy seeing Nick Gage, like, after the show.
Yeah.
All fucking cut up. Like, I mean, his head just got a million fucking cuts all over it. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm imagining, like, the people at the airport that work at the airport when they see this guy fucking coming through, you know, security or, like, checking in for the flight or getting on the plane, right? And fucking all the cuts everywhere.
Yeah.
So, and I can't – also, on a personal note, the Nick Gage, man, it was really cool to see him. And the guy, like, you can – try to judge somebody, like, the book by the cover or however you want to put that. But, man, you won't meet a more respectful, good-hearted person, like, in the business. I promise you.
Yeah. And he's got an aura about him. Yeah. You know, like, when you go over and you shake his hand or you sit down to Nick, like, you really feel it. You feel the energy around him. And you don't feel that with a lot of people.
Yeah. So, and like, I'm not, like, a huge deathmatch fan by any means. Like, I talked about, you know, I've dabbled a little bit or whatever. But I'm a big Nick Gage fan. Like, I don't think you have to be a huge deathmatch fan to be a big Nick Gage fan.
Yeah, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Real quickly, just to get your take before we jump to Malakai Black, man, this NXT story, right? Like,
yeah,
a lot of, I mean, Bronson Reed gone, Bobby Fish, Mercedes Martinez, a lot of great talent that go all at the same time here. Talk that maybe NXT could be looking to, like, rebrand itself or change. Like, What's your reaction to the releases, and what do you think are the strengths and the weaknesses you would focus on with NXT kind of going forward?
I don't know, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you wanted to ask me the question, but
sure,
man, I got nothing.
That's fine.
Yeah, man, I just as soon keep my thoughts to myself on this. And I know like that sucks for the people listening, but like there's just certain fucking things I need to keep to myself because I have relationships with,
yes,
you know, promotions.
Yeah. All right. So,
I wish I like really wish I could fucking share how I feel about this right now.
Okay.
Read between the lines. This episode of Pro Wrestling for Life is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals, Nick?
You know, every week it's a roller coaster, Sean. You never know what's going to get thrown at you and drag you down into the mud. You know what I mean, man?
Yep. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, which I know you've done.
I have. I talk to Linda every Wednesday. She's fantastic. When I signed up, I was communicating with her in under 48 hours. I was getting right into it, man.
Nice. And you can start communicating in under 48. Oh, you already just said that. Okay. It's not a crisis line, Nick. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online.
Yeah.
There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, Nick.
Yeah, that's a good thing. This is available worldwide then to clients. And so you can log in anytime. You can send a message to your counselor. That's what I do with Linda. If she's running late or we need to reschedule, we communicate. It's wonderful. You get a timely, thoughtful response. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. I'm personally doing phone sessions right now. It's just a little easier for me. And so you won't ever have to sit down and be in an uncomfortable waiting room or sit there on that couch looking at this stranger you've never met before and wondering, how do I get out of this room? You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Yeah, yeah. And BetterHelp wants you, us, everyone to start living a happier life today. So if you go over to their website, you can find all these wonderful testimonials. And if you go to betterhelp.com/PW4L, that's BetterHelp.com/PW4L, you're going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp, which is a really great deal, Sean.
Yeah, it is, man. And yeah, again, that's betterhelp.com/PW4L. This episode of Pro Wrestling for Life is brought to you by Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, that's perfectly okay, Nick. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/XPOC now.
Yeah, and with Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional is going to work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping.
Somehow I have a feeling that medication is almost always appropriate. Yeah. But anyways, the whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/XPOC and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it.
Yes, go to GetRoman.com/XPOC now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/XPOC. Get started now. Save $15 off your first month of treatment.
That's right. And thank you so much, Roman, for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Joining us right now is Tommy N, a.k.a. Malakai Black. What's up, man? Hey, Tommy.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Great, man. And obviously, you're doing great as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, man.
Hell of a month.
Yeah. Hey, so, like, you know, When I was doing my old show, you were a guest on there. We kind of, you know, I kind of want to rehash a bunch of shit, but like, just real quick for those that don't know, like, I met Tommy. Tommy, it was it a Preston City Wrestling in the UK? It was one of those,
it was,
right?
Southside Wrestling.
Oh, Southside for Ben. Southside Wrestling.
Yeah, for Ben. Many, many moons ago. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and I saw, we've been on some stuff together and Ben and stuff together. And like, man, I'm immediately felt the connection with you. I think, you know, for a lot of obvious reasons and maybe some that some people might not have guessed, but, but man, yeah. So like, man, I knew, you know, that eventually you were going to end up like in WWE, Tommy. Like, I think I even told you, like, Triple H is gonna love you, man, when he sees you.
Yeah, no, you did. You did. And that was, I want to say about a year before I got picked up is when, when we met and when you told me that. And there's a very, very funny story about the night that you and I met, because you're a man of details in many, many, many ways. And one of the things, I have this really tiny square and compass tattoo right here, which is has multiple meanings, and one of them is my grandfather for certain reasons. And you didn't even look directly at me. You were kind of like half of your phone, and you kind of glanced up and you said, like, oh, I really dig that tattoo you have on the hand of a square and compass. And I was like, how did you see that? He's like, oh, I picked it up. Yeah, you like, you just glanced at like some, you picked it up. And that was within the first 5 minutes of you and me ever meeting. That was crazy.
Yeah dude, I knew. Crazy. I knew, man. Like, I just felt it before I even really got to know you a little bit more, man. I just, oh, this fucking guy.
Yeah, and, we both have a bit of a.
I was into symbology. Like, I got really into symbology for a long time. Symbols are very, very powerful.
Yep, agreed. And that's what's exactly the conversation that sparked from that little comment that you made.
Yeah. So, exactly. So Tommy, like, so, you know, after we met and all, you know, we run these shows over in UK, like, man, I started seeing you everywhere, PWG, like, you know, everything, man. And I just knew it was only a matter of time.
So. Yeah, it was, it's about around that same time. So those, like, let's say the period of like 2010 to 2014 were very fruitful for me. The independent scene, I went all over, like, I went to Japan, North America. I was already a pretty established name in Europe, but at that time, I started going much more to the United Kingdom. That became like my second base of operations alongside Germany, where I've at that point already was like competing for the last 8-9 years. And, when I did the tour, one of the first ones, the tours that I did in the United States, excuse me, I wrestled one of my trainers, Chris Hero, on a PWG show. And it was that match that made people go, who is this dude? And I think, you know, striking is nothing new. I didn't invent striking. You're a big martial artist. You were a big striker. You were a big influence on so many of us, including myself. But, you know, the trick is to find something to do it in your way. And I think that at that time I was, you know, I defined my style pretty much. And even though, like, now if I look back at my style, you know, it's evolved even more. But I think back then it was different enough for people to go, oh, that's interesting. And I think that's kind of what caught a lot of people's attention. And it kind of spied for man. Like, I think 6 months from that, I got an email from, I think it was Chris Hero that texted me as well, saying, hey, Regal wants to talk to you. And it kind of like went from there. And I had a conversation with Canyon, and they flew me into Manchester. I was already pretty much signed, but they just wanted me to just hang around the ring for a little bit. Yeah, they wanted to see how I worked with other people and like how well I could take direction and stuff. And at the time, I was still like my type of training. I did about like 3-4 sessions of like kickboxing a week. I was training a competition style, not because I was running competition, but I was like that competition style training because it's good for my cardio. And funny enough, I was pretty intimidated by the idea of having to run one of these tryouts, because you hear all these like stories, right, about like how tough it is. And believe me, they are tough.
It is.
But because I was in such, you know, cardiovascular good shape, I ran it pretty well. I remember having a lot of fun with like specifically Norman Smiley during the drills and stuff like that. And it was tough, but I definitely was glad that I always chose to kind of maintain that high level of training, specifically back then, because it was really well utilized that those 2 days.
Yeah. Hey man, speaking of your training, and not to jump around here, but you know, that's how I am. Your YouTube channel, man, like the training videos you put, I love those.
Oh, man, thank you. Yeah, we did that with a little bit for a while with my wife, obviously. Like, I'm a big fan of just trying stuff out.
Yeah.
And I always got a lot of questions in regards to not just my training, but like a lot of stuff in regards to my style and how I would break stuff down. So I was like, you know what, let me break stuff down as to where I got certain techniques from and how I implement them within the realm of professional wrestling. And that was a video that was always pretty well received. And we did a couple of those, and it was a couple of training ones. And
I learned some shit from that, Tommy. Like, seriously, man. So I appreciate it.
You know, I still to this day, every time, like, you know, we train, I try to like break down any technique that I can find that I think would be useful for, you know, me as Malachi Black or Tommy Anders, like the wrestler, that I can break down and use to implement within the realms of professional wrestling. And especially the last 8-9 months that I've sit on the shelf until last night, I've been doing a lot of like researching, a lot of like, you know, training with that stuff. So I've got some fun stuff coming up.
And just to see the transformation in your body and your conditioning from the time you arrived till now, it's really fucking cool to see, man.
Thank you. A lot of people notice, but like when I first started in NXT, I started losing a lot of weight, and they found out that like internally there was a few things wrong with my processes. And luckily the medical staff over there is very capable, and they directed me in the right ways. But it took a year and a half like to figure out what was wrong with me, and they started like putting me on some medication and stuff, and finally figured it out so that my body could like function optimal. Because, you know, at the time, you know, 14 years at the time of doing this, planes in, planes out, cars, beating your body up, going to the gym, not getting enough sleep. Yeah, that wreaks havoc on your system. So, you know, it was, and I neglected a lot of it. So it was time for some well needed like therapy and like, you know, changing some of the medication here and there and really optimizing myself so I could kind of go back forward into like training and forward into like feeling like I was a professional athlete, you know? Yeah. And again, you know, last 8 months when I got pulled off TV at WWE, I kind of went, you know what, I want to change a few things, because I was pretty depressed at the time because everything just kind of did not go the way that I was promised it would go.
I was so frustrating to watch, man. I don't mean to interrupt. I was so
frustrating. No, you're fine. And the thing is, like, I really started like not caring again. I went to the point where I just didn't really care. So like I let myself go because I was depressed. And I remember very vividly going like, all right, come on, get out of it. Stop it.
Yeah.
And I just immediately, you know, Pepper Parks, I contacted Pepper. He's a great guy. I said, like, who's your nutritionist? Who's your, you know, and I signed up with him. And I signed up with Joshua, and the rest is kind of history. And like, that's been like, you know, the biggest change. And like, you've talked about it too, like consistency is everything. And that was literally because now I have someone who holds me accountable, which is really, really, really good. And like, I've always enjoyed the process of training. I've never not liked training. I've never been the biggest weight trainer in the world, but I do like powerlifting and stuff because, you know, it makes me train towards a goal. And I will say the last 8 months that has changed a little bit, but swayed a little bit more towards bodybuilding and stuff. It will never be fully my thing because I'm just much more of a, I need a focused goal that I can like see, and I need to be able to lift the 10 extra pounds in the deadlift, or I can be able to, you know, push a little bit more weight on the bench press. I like that kind of stuff because it feels like I'm actively doing something with goals, but you know, changing up a little bit and, yeah, I think that right now we're doing pretty good. Like I feel good. I lost a lot of like unwanted like body fat because I was 217 when I got off TV, and I was not a good 217. It was a very miserable 217. I got all the way back to 191, and then I started building back up, and I'm about 210 now again, but a very different 210 than I was when I was 217, or even when I was 210. It's a very different 210.
No, you're carrying it well right now, Tommy.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Yeah, so you know, it's just interesting to see what your body does when handled correctly.
Yeah.
And you know, I definitely feel that that's what we're doing currently.
Hey, Tommy. You know, I mean, besides like the conditioning, everything like else, and like all the resources, man, that you had available, you know, NXT and everything.
Yeah.
Man, watching the progression of your like just how fucking great you've gotten in the ring, man. Like,
oh, thank you.
You were real. Like when I met you, it was just like a diamond in the rough, right?
Sure. I know what you're saying. I know
very
what you're
saying. So polished now and shiny.
Yeah. I needed a lot of guidance. And the funny thing is, like, once like I started training a lot with Terry Taylor, he's one of those dudes that like, you know, really kind of like you know, he was like shaving off a bunch of the 017. The stupid thing is, right? And I told him this as well. I said, like, everything you're telling me makes complete sense to me. And it's stuff where you're like, you know this, but just because of years of bad habit, years of like neglect of like what you were doing on the independents and stuff like that, just kind of forgetting what your essential, you know, what your basics were. And like, like you said, you always had something about you that made people intrigued with what it is that you did with your style. But then for when I started training with Terry, like everything got put back into the right position. So now I had the experience, and now I could use what I, you know, what Terry gave me, and basically like directed in the proper places. And you know, started moving from then. And it's also one of the things where, like, you know, the first two matches that I had at NXT on pay-per-view wise were very like handled and controlled, and then the third one against Dream was one of those ones where I was like, all right guys, please let me do this.
Yeah,
give me this, let me, I know what I'm doing, let me do this. And after that, they were like, okay, cool. No, you go right ahead. And, you know, that was one of the first times they actually gave me like control to do, you know, a match with, you know, some, you know, storytelling elements and stuff like that. And like, we wanted to work with, you know, we wanted to really like tell a good story. And, you know, the rest is kind of history, because from there on out, they, you know, kept basically letting me do my own thing.
Yeah, man, and they produced the hell out of you. Like, man, the entrance, I just, like, everything. Yeah. I mean, it's about as, I mean, obviously, like, nothing's perfect, but, like, to me, it was pretty close, man, as far as, like, my image of what, like, what's cool for somebody like you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was, you know, it was a good collaboration between myself and Hunter. Hunter always let me do me, and he was always very adamant on like, hey, what do you want to do? What do you think? What do you feel? How do you see this? And, you know, and then getting his input and always having that like feedback exchange, you know, being able to like getting his perspective on things, which always helped. Because, man, if there's one thing that this business is, it's a lot of feedback. It's a lot of listening to other people. It's a lot of getting insights. And that insight will either help you decide what you want to do or what you don't want to do. Yeah. And that was very valuable. And not just Hunter. You know, it was like Sean. It was Coach
Terry Bloom, Taylor. Like
Terry Taylor. You know what I mean? And all of them brought something. Like Robbie Brookside and Norman Smiley. You know, they all had so much value to bring to what I did. And like were eager to help. So you've got all these great perspectives, and that really helped like sharpen my mind to, you know, to even now, you know, like I spoke to Terry last night, and I said to him, I said, like, it's funny, 'cause every time I'm still doing stuff, I can still hear you talk to me, you know, like every time, like, you know, we're creating something, I can hear Terry talk, you know, don't do this, do it that way. You know, remember, you know what I mean? It's funny that like that, and that will stay with me for the remainder of my career. It's just it's so in my head in a very good way.
I think I told you, like, and you know, talking about Terry before, like how much he meant to me and my when I first came in, you know, before, you know, there was the developmental, like your developmental was just being in the first match on the house shows,
yeah,
you know, coming in. So, man, Terry Taylor, I credit him with so like much of my success as far as like,
agreed.
Like so, I thought I knew, man. Like I thought I knew what I was doing until I
got there. Until you talk to him, and he'll tell you things. You just go.
And it's amazing how he explains everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The way he can lay things out for you to understand, it's just incredible.
Yeah, he dissects it and he feeds it to you in small portions, enough for you to understand. Like I said, like you're saying, you think you know, and then you hear Terry talk, you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's crazy how surgical he gets when it comes to dissecting things and feeding it to you. And it's exactly what, you know, because I carry that now. Like I said, I still carry that with me now.
Yeah, I go down there to coach Tommy, and I end up sitting in on the skull session with Terry, and I'm fucking still learning shit from him.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So I have a question for a second. I hate
sure you have a lot of them.
I do.
No, please do talk. You're also part of this podcast.
I hate to interrupt. I can tell you guys are enjoying this so much. But like with this greater relationship, as it sounds like you had with Hunter and working in NXT, you know, we just saw Samoa Joe like leave WWE, but then resign with NXT. Was there ever any like thought for you of maybe going and just working with Hunter down at NXT? I don't know how that kind of works at the moment.
So obviously that's not up for me to decide. But the sentiment was there. I think that the clarification didn't come in. And I think that it was more we wanted to, but we couldn't. And when we could, I already made up my mind.
Okay.
You know, and like for me, like it's also like that part of that part of me personally, you know, doesn't have to be addressed anymore because it is what it is. And as I said in many, many interviews, like I look fondly back at my time in WWE, but I'm currently really, really enjoying being in AEW. It's a world of difference.
Absolutely. And WWE is always going to be there. Trust me, it's always going to be there. And
absolutely.
He might freaking go back there and leave again a couple of times before it's all said and done.
Maybe. I don't see myself doing that. I'm not a very spiritual person. I don't have religion to that extent. But sometimes I do feel that things are meant to be in a certain way. If that sounds, you know, I mean, you know, that might sound a bit spiritual, but it just feels that my position.
Maybe metaphysical.
It feels that my position within this company now, it feels right. It feels correct. And it feels like this is what it should have been all along.
Yeah.
And like I said, like it just feels right. And I feel very content where I am. I feel this is a better fit for me, if that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Oh, it totally is.
Yeah. And there's no shade towards WWE at all. Like, again, like I'm very thankful. I'm very happy that everything happened the way it did. But, you know, sure, I have my criticism. And I think everyone's allowed to. I'm sure they have the criticism of me. And that's fine. You know, but that's what this is. Yeah. It's a professional environments where it's a two-way street, you know what I mean? So sure.
Yeah, the two-way street with the oncoming lanes usually shut down for construction.
So let's talk about something you haven't talked about, I know, in another podcast, which is what happened last night, because we're the first podcast since it happened. So like
we're not even 24 hours removed at this point.
No, we are not. So talk to me, like, or talk to us, like, how does this feel? I mean, what a statement piece last night was for you, Malachi or Tom.
Yeah, it's you know, I told Tony, I said, look, I've got this idea. This is how I view it. What do you think? Tony was like, I love it. I love everything about it. He was confident enough to give me a shot at it. I clearly owe a lot to Cody, and Cody and me think very much alike in a lot of things, which was very pleasant. And I laid out what I wanted to do, and they both really thought, you know, this, yeah, this is cool. And it worked, you know.
So, and, so like the vision in your head, did it play out? Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Wow. That's really hard to do.
With obviously, you know, with their respective feedback into it. Cause at the end of the day, obviously I still work for someone else and I still have to like, you know, I have to get their opinion. I have to get their clearance. And luckily I got clearance and everything that me and him did played out exactly the way I envisioned it in my head. And the payoff was, you know, it worked and it was crazy fun. I remember like when the bell rang and the fans did what they did, I was like, I'm not moving. I'm just standing. We don't need to move. We can just stay here.
Yeah.
And it was a good moment. Not just for like wrestling, but it was a good moment for my career. And it was a good validation as to, you know, understanding what it is that you do and making it work.
Hey, man, and we need some validation every now and then.
Sure.
You know, and man, doesn't it feel great when you have this vision and like everything and the crowd reacts how you're expecting them to react?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good feel.
Good payoff. I remember I came home about 2 a.m. because it's I wouldn't say it's local, but it's semi-local.
A couple hour
drive. And my wife was obviously dead asleep. She was super tired. And I was just sitting on the couch, like being all hyper and like being all excited. Yeah. And like adrenaline was like still going. So I got about 4 hours of sleep in. And I just woke up again. And I was still like feeling good and still excited. And yeah, it's been kind of like riding that. And yeah, man, it's been a good, I want to say 18 hours so far, 20 hours maybe. Yeah, something like that. So it's just good. The feedback's great. Being able to work with like a band like Amon Ra was really cool. Yeah. You know, like seeing a lot of like these magazines pick it up, seeing like Loudwire picking it up and writing articles about it. And like, yeah. and that's the goal, you know, the goal is to kind of make it globally and make it explode. And it's good to see so much of it. It's being picked up and the response being so positive. And, you know, that to me is what it's about. It's that like, you know, I want fans to enjoy it and I want fans to be excited and I want fans to have something that they can look back at. And it's like, I was either part of that or I saw the beginning of that, or, you know, I felt that. And I think, you know, cause so much of what we do, I mean, I'd say 99% of what we do is based on emotions of, you know, what our audiences pick up and what the audience give back at us. And it was just such, I got so much back last night. And that was great. That was the biggest reward for me. Absolutely.
Nice.
So real quick, like at the end of the match and after the show had gone off the air, Cody's like taking off his boots and leaving them in the ring. What are fans to take from this? Is like, did you end Cody Rhodes' career? Like what's.
Stick around and see. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just curious. A lot of people wondering what the boots and the big thing mean right now. You know?
Well, the beauty of wrestling is that eventually stuff pays off. So,
yeah, but we want to know now, Tommy.
I have to ask these questions, right? Like, real quick, before we go, like, what else at AEW? I want to talk about this look, man. The mask. Mm-hmm. The entrance. Can you talk to us a little bit about the inspirations behind the new?
I have a weird fascination with cults. I have a fascination with the occult, and I like a lot of things like nature driven. And so I kind of like stuck all those things together. And, you know, obviously the mask has like antlers and stuff like that. And it was same with my gear. You know, I was kind of envisioning like, well, why would he wear shorts versus trunks? And I was like, well, if he's like coming from this, is this cult driven persona and he's been training these disciplines, then he would wear something that would reflect those disciplines, hence the short, you know? I like obviously like, you know, my musical preferences come back a lot in the outfits that I wear. And I felt that I wanted to create an outfit that was within the wheelhouse of what fans have seen me do before and wasn't a departure from it, but more a layer on top of it. So, yeah. You know, the mask was almost ritualistic and the way that we did, you know, the entrance, I wanted to create an entrance very minimalistic versus like, you know, what I did in WWE was very global scaled and like very big, but still ritualistic. Here, I told, look, I've got this idea for three lights. I just want to use three lights. That's it. Only three lights and camera angles. That's all I want to use. And I explained the idea to the camera crew. By the way, shout out to the AEW camera crew. These dudes are amazing. And, you know, we practice all the cuts. We practice all the zooms and all the stuff. And I said, look, I'll walk down here. This is what's going to look like from the tunnel. It looks like I'll rise out of like nothingness. It's almost like I appear from thin air with the way I position myself. And you saw that in the tunnel where I kind of like popped up. You just saw the silhouette. I use a lot of movie references, stuff like that as well. I'm a big fan of like these 70s cult movies. So I'll use stuff from there and just kind of mesh all this stuff together and make something relatable, but also make something going like I'm fascinated by it. I don't exactly know what it is yet, but I want to look at it. And, you know, I think I'm always pretty decent at like creating an intrigue. And I feel that what I did was a very intriguing entrance, very different. And what I liked about it is that it's so simplistic. There is no bells and whistles. There is no crazy pyros and stuff like that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I just felt that it didn't fit this character. I felt that like a big expose wouldn't have looked good for this character. Like, everything's very noir, very dark, very gritty, which obviously a lot of the things, you know, that I did have done are. But, you know, the prior one had a lot of red and candles, and I wanted to completely get rid of all the colors. I just wanted it to be, like I said, very noir, very dark, and minimal, because the character is pretty minimal in terms of like, again, the presentation. It's simple, yet effective, because it's a strong look. And, yes, this is the same look in terms of, like, the suit and everything that I used prior, but this is also the reason why I got signed for WWE in the first place. I did this on the independents. This was what I've always done. And this is what this is the stuff that got me signed to WWE. So I didn't want a departure from that part, because that's what I've been building this, you know, this IP on. And I was just going like, how can I tie all this stuff together with stuff that I did prior WWE in WWE, so that I can like still pull basically do a big scoop and pull as many people with me as I can in terms of like my fan base.
Yeah.
And present something to a new audience that might not be completely aware of what I do, but for them immediately go, whoa, okay, this is different. So that's kind of what.
Can I ask real quick about the look as well? One of my favorite things about your look, and this kind of bled into like the last part of your WWE run, was the fact that you embraced that Seth Rollins like actually ripped your eyeball out. Like, that's even a part of kind of the new look. Was that something you wanted to, is like, because it was
so,
you
know, yeah, it's not the same. So, you know, if you see that little video that I put up on Instagram, which is kind of like a little bit of a tie-in, it is more that this character Malachi like comes through halfway through my face. So it's not, how do I explain this? So it is the eye, but it's not a damaged eye. It's a possessed eye. And that's why it's white.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? So, and I want it, but I want, like, I do want it, because I love the aesthetic of that. I thought it was a cool aesthetic even when I did it prior. And I was looking for a way, it's like, okay, but how can I keep this without, what's the word I'm looking for? I wanted a different angle into the same thing, but because I to me that felt lazy. So I wanted to create something where I could still have that aesthetic, but build on the aesthetic, you know, with the way I put the, you know, the black and all that stuff. And initially it was obviously a bruise, and now it's more shaped towards like this, like, you know, it accentuates my cheekbone and stuff like that, because I wanted to always be almost that part is that that's the part that's Malachi, that this, you know, that part is that's Malachi Black.
So someone else is in there looking out through that eye.
Insinuation. Yes. Nice. That was the thought process. And again, you know, and I know like a lot of this sounds very theatrical, but I like theatrical. I think it's a big part of what we do. It's always been a big part of what we do. I said this on Jericho's podcast too. Like, for me, and like, you know, it doesn't have to be your cup of tea. That's fine. Like, you know, oh, we're in a world with 7 billion people. Everybody likes something different, right? For me, wrestling, to me, wrestling can be more than just you versus me. You know, like even if we look, if we go back, we look at Kane, we look at Taker, we look at all these like, you know, massive like entities, these presence, like these people that had such a presence, even with Bray, you know? Yeah. Hell, even with Mordecai back in the day, I thought that the presence of what Kevin did, even when he had the vampire game, even with Gangrel. You know, like it was, I liked the theatrics. I've always liked the theatrics. And even like back music wise, you know, like if you look at a band like Cradle of Filth with like how they present themselves, you look at Watain, just the stage presence, Behemoth, they have such a presence. And I love that theatric. I love that aspect of it. So I always kind of try and find ways of like how I can implement that for myself. But when it comes to these things, you can't half-ass it. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of that. No, you either go full in or you don't. Because if you don't, it's going to fall through. It's not going to work.
People aren't going to buy it.
No. So I had to go all in on it. No pun intended. But, yeah, and like, one of the things that you always know when you do something is that it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but the thing is you have to be content with it and you have to live with it and you have to be convinced of it, because if you're not convinced of it, it's not going to work regardless of what you try. And this is where I shine. This is what I do good. And this is where I feel comfortable. And that's also a very important thing. You got to feel comfortable in the roles that you're playing, because if I try something that I'm not comfortable in, which happened in WWE, which was the whole thing with being, you know, me and KO, because that I wasn't comfortable with that at all. You know, it's just not gonna translate. It's not gonna work. And this does. This feels right. And again, with the way we did everything last night, the reaction was great. The aftermath is great. The aftermath's still going. And I mean, it's almost the first thing that you guys are asking about, clearly, and rightfully so. So like, thank you know you. I mean, so it causes a ripple. And again, that's what you want. You want that ripple, and good or bad, you want people talking about it, because that's what you're doing it for. You want the reaction of people to think, you want people to talk. You're going to get people that don't like it. You're going to people that like it. That's it. And the majority right now is that pretty much everyone likes it.
Yeah, how do you not bring it up first? You knocked out Cody Rhodes in like 6 minutes. You mm-hmm. waltzed over, didn't even mm-hmm. do, just put the foot on there. I mean, just total dominance, man. I mean, mm-hmm. what a visual. I mean, how do you not address it first here? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You mentioned his name as somebody else in the same kind of cut of cloth, and that was Bray Wyatt just a second ago. Mm-hmm. I just, while you're here, like, what do you think of the fact this guy is off the chain now and out there available?
You know, like I was very, I think I speak for everyone when I say that we were all very, very surprised. Like, obviously I don't know the reasons why. And the reasons for that is also not for me to know, you know, that's right. Between them and the company. All I can say is that Bray is a phenomenal talent. I think there's no question about that. Everyone thinks that he's a phenomenal creative guy. Funny enough, in our conversations, a lot of times, there's a lot of cross-reference the way him and I think about subliminal messaging and like right. building characters and like where we get our inspirations from. And it's interesting to hear him talk about his characters. And like, you know, a lot of times we were always kind of like, what would we do if it was just you and me? How would we play? And, you know, we do a little bit of fantasy booking here and there. And, you know, he's a Wyndham, for as much as I know him, has always been a stand-up guy since the first time I met him. He's also been there for me when I wanted to ask him a few things, because obviously at the time he was in the company for a very, very long time, and he went through similar like processes that I had to go through. And, you know, and one of the things that he always told me and he always did is like, you know, fight, just fight for what you want to do. And I did. And he did too. But, you know, at the end, it's not up to us. And in the end, it's going to be someone else's decision, no matter how hard you fight. But I agree with the sentiment, like, you know, and I said this on a bunch of times, you want to die on your own sword. So at least you want to know that you tried everything. And even if it doesn't go the way you want it to go, at least you tried. At least you tried to convince, you tried to convey, you tried to talk, you tried to present, you know, no matter how many times you get shut down, or no matter how many times, you know, they try to like change it or present it in a way that it, you know, doesn't work for you anymore. You try, And that's one of the things that he really instilled in me was like, try, you got to try, keep trying, keep fighting, keep talking. So, you know.
Yeah. Cool, man. How is it on working creatively with Tony Khan?
Like, great. What,
yeah.
Absolutely great. Yeah. He is a very enthusiastic, very spontaneous individual. Has an incredible amount of love for what he does, has an incredible amount of love for his locker room. Always available. I briefly spoke to him today and, you know, just like, you know, he thanked me for what we did. And I thought that was really cool. And I kind of texted it back saying like, oh, well, you beat me to it, 'cause I wanted to talk to you as well today, but you know, I appreciate it. And, it's very different, you know, having some working for someone as like, you know, Mr. McMahon, or working for someone that's like Tony, it's you know, they're literally 180. They're literally two different, like extremely different people. I think a lot of that also obviously has to do with where he comes from and, you know, how he is as a person and like how young he is, you know, definitely a different perspective on society, different mentality. And that's okay. You know, that's great. It works for me. Yeah, it works very, very well for me. I have nothing but good things to say about him. He's been fair. He's been blunt with me, which I've said on many occasions. I appreciate people being completely upfront with me and honest with me, even when it's not in my favor. You know, I prefer people just telling me, you know, Tom, I'm not feeling this. All right, cool. At least you let me know versus, oh, okay, yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? Just tell me yes or no. And he's very good at that. And I appreciate that very much. And I think AW is making really cool waves. It's a great company to be a part of. And I think I came in at the right time. And like I said in the beginning of the conversation, I don't see myself going back to WWE. And that's not out of spite. That's just because I feel this is a right move for me. This is a better position for me. And
okay. I have one last question, Sean, and then you can take this wherever you want. And it's my last like AEW question. I'll ask you the elephant in the room question. How do you feel about the rumors that CM Punk could be AEW bound? What do you think of those reports?
So obviously there's like multiple angles to that. Number one, I genuinely do not know if it's true. I genuinely don't.
I don't care.
I haven't heard anyone mention it. I mean, there's obviously a buzz on in the locker room, of course. I think it'd be great. I think it really proves that the times have changed. I think it'd be a validation of how different everything is and how how it's changed, how different the business is now. And you know, I don't play the us versus them cards. I just don't. I want everybody to be successful. I want all my friends in WWE to be able to, you know, provide for their families. I want all my friends and colleagues in AWP able to provide for their families. And, you know, that's what I care about. And if someone is like, you know, CM Punk goes over to AW, that's great for business. That's good for all of us. You know, because it gives the fans something to work with. It gives people perspective. It makes people give that mentality of like, okay, here we go, you know, and like it puts fresh wind in everyone's sails. And I think for me, as a competitor, as a wrestler, someone who genuinely cares about wrestling and the state of the business, I think that is what's important. And I you know, deep down, I hope it's true. I think that'd be very, very cool to see, and very cool to see how the world of professional wrestling will react to it. Yeah. Its fan base react to it. Yeah, so like, you know, exciting times. You know what I mean? Very, very exciting times.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel Bryan there in the wings as well. I didn't even bring that up, you know, but like
same thing. Exact same thing. Yeah. Exact same thing. And the thing is, I can see someone as Daniel pulling the trigger on that, because he's so, you know, again, he's someone who has a great love for wrestling and always wants to try different things and always, you know, has a different perspective on stuff. And you know, sometimes it's just fun to think about the possibilities. And for me, this was, you know, obviously by my release, like the possibilities became different. So I can only imagine how, you know, his brain might work. I can only guess at it. You know what I mean? So I hope so, man. I can see him definitely show. But again, I don't know. I really don't know.
Sean, you getting nostalgic right now for like the heyday of the, like the Monday Night Wars? I mean, it sounds like, you know, right? No, no.
I mean, it's you know, I'm excited for everything, man. I don't think you can compare the two.
I think we live in such different days. Like, you know,
people love to do that, man. It's just like, they're not even close to the same.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the biggest differences, obviously, you know, we live clearly in a different day and age. And like now there is like 5,000 TV channels. There's YouTube, there's streaming services. There is something for every individual in the world, right? There is something that people can watch. And maybe 20, 25 years ago when people were like, and I'm saying something silly, people liked five things and one of those things was wrestling. Nowadays, because there's so many options available and people can explore what they like much more, now people like 20 things and wrestling is kind of like on a back burner more. And I think that's why it's such, you know, like, I don't think you can call it a throwback to, you know, what guys like Sean went through in terms of like the Monday Night Wars, but is it an interesting tidbit for the business? Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I think it's every bit as exciting for me anyways to watch from that kind of like, you know, I'm not in the middle of it now, so like watching from the outside a little bit more, you know.
Absolutely, I
saw this comment a couple years ago, like and I'm not the only one, but like, you know, and people are going, oh, I'm gonna be a boom. I'm just like, look, it's just different, man. It's not you know, necessarily gonna be record-breaking TV ratings. Is just the business is getting healthier.
TV is also a different entity nowadays, man. Like TV is like, for the reasons I just mentioned, TV is not what TV was 25 years ago. It's still a very strong medium. It's an established medium, but it's a very different medium. You know, like everything gets different ratings nowadays. And again, there's so much available for people. There's a lot more than just like, you know, like as professional wrestling, there's much more available nowadays. Many different shows. For instance, like I don't really watch TV. I use YouTube for the most part because I like the fact that I can customly watch what I like watching. And television provides me with a I wouldn't say limited, but somewhat selective options of what I can and cannot watch. And YouTube doesn't have that, or other like streaming platforms don't have that. And I can watch stuff on demand versus watching a program knowing that at 8 o'clock this is going to appear. I think we live in a very in demand kind of society where people want to watch stuff now. They want to see things right this second. And I think that's also a big changer. That's a big difference for ratings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tommy, you were out here in my neck of the woods, man. PWG. It was cool to see you and Brody King.
Yep. I love Brody. He's my boy. That's my boy. I love that guy. Oh, he's great. He's a lovely human being. He's also a genuine bad motherfucker, if I can say that word. He's one of those dudes that you generally don't want to. I'm glad I'm on his good side. He's a no bullshit kind of human being. Very cut dry, cut to the chase. But also if you're in his inner circle, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's one of the most respectful people I've ever met
in the industry.
Absolutely.
I was a fan of his from the first time I saw him at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. But the one crazy thing though, he used to wear these crazy trunks, man, that had like a zebra stripe pattern.
I remember.
Now I'm like, no, man, like you're crazy, like your crazy outfit is your tattoos and your body, dude. You know, but anyways, man.
Big human being as well, like stupendously large. He's so thick, you know, such a chest to back ratio, like ridiculous. The PWG thing was really cool. I always have a lot of love for PWG. You know, I always liked working with them. I think their fan base is absolutely incredible. I think a lot of things, man. SoCal fans are so cool.
Yeah.
Very, very, very excited and like very, very enthusiastic, very genuine. And I think that company has a lot of really genuine like buzz to it. And it's again, it's a ring, it's a bar, or it's a venue. Here we go. And it's gritty and it's beautiful. I love it. It takes me right back to the roots of what all of this started.
How much of that type of stuff do you think you're going to be doing? Like, you know, appearances outside AEW?
I try to keep them special.
Yeah.
You know, I try to not like venture out too much. Also just because of my body, and also because, you know, I have to think of that, like, you know, the from a business point of view, the number one breadwinner for me is AEW. So I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes that, that puts me in a bad disposition with, you know, with AEW. So, I'll try to minimize it between once a month, once every 2 months to kind of like do a booking or a signing, you know what I mean? Keeps it fresh, keeps it special. Keeps it exciting. And, yeah,
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. Like the way they have things structured there, like you can be an actual real independent contractor and go out and, you know, do that type of stuff. Yeah. I'm concerned with, you know, like the main AEW players going and doing a show and getting hurt, man. Like, like the first time that happens, I think they might start rethinking how.
Maybe I don't know.
That's not maybe really like, your, I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it might very well be me. You never know. But you know, I don't want to. But that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put myself in the position of, you know, jeopardizing that. Or you know, like the last thing I would want to do is to tell Tony, hey Tony, so I can't come to TV because you know, I sprained my ankle. At you know what I mean? So, but you know, there's a way to work. There's a way to do what you do. You know what I mean? And it's and at the same time, you're never 100% foolproof. You're just not. You know, because like let's face it, the most horrendous injuries that we've all had never happened on cool things. There is this weird unwritten rule in wrestling that, I mean, do you remember how that like I shattered my right testicle in 7 pieces in Las Vegas? Do you remember that injury that I had against Tommaso?
Oh my God.
That's why I was out.
I didn't know that. So, like, I didn't know the details.
So this is the thing, right? So this is the thing. Me and Tommaso are in this feud, and this is the reason why, you know, I wasn't on TV for 3 months. We were supposed to get into an angle between me, Johnny, and Tommaso. It was going to be a takeover match, and it was already announced. And then a week later, we went on the road, and me and Tommaso, he just won the belt for me. We went on the road. We're in Las Vegas, and we had this thing where I jumped in on top rope and he came running and he crutches me, and he came in with so much force that as I'm going down, you know, his head collides with my nether region, and because of that flinch, I couldn't catch myself from falling on the post, so I hit the post full speed and it shattered my testicle into 7 pieces, and I fell in the ring. And I remember telling Eddie rang out our referee, he's like, Ed, can you give me a second? I just got hit in the nuts. And I just think at this point, you know, you just hit in the nuts, knocks the wind out of you, sucks, put me in a hole so I can work and kind of like recover a little bit. I wrestled a full 22 minutes, my entire comeback, outside dives, everything, the whole shebang, cut a promo after the match. I come backstage and I just knew something was wrong. I just freaking collapse. Boom, I fall down. I'm crawling on the floor. I'm in agony. At this point, my down there was swollen to just, it was protruding through my trunks. So I had to grab a towel and everything. And I tell Scott at the time, and Scotty was not super pleased with my promo. So he's like, hey, Tom, I'm going to tell you. I'm like, Scott, I am terribly sorry. Something happened in the ring. I think I need to go to a hospital. And then I get half picked up and they bring me to my locker, to the locker room. As I'm like going to locker, I collapse again. And everybody kind of started laughing because they thought I was joking. Uh-huh. And then Chris Hero looks at me. He's like, you're not okay, are you? I'm like, no, I think something happened. And then I explain what happened. And he's like, no, we got to take you to hospital. And shout out to Chris, by the way, who took me, put me in the ambulance, or the ambulance, in the car with Christian, the NXT doctor. They drove me to the Las Vegas hospital. And they, I had to wait quite a while for me to, like, you know, to actually get surgery. I think it took like 6-7 hours before I actually got to the fact that I got surgery. And they took this, like, they did the scan on me and all this stuff. And they said, like, well, we can do two things. We can cut you open and we can take everything out and we'll put something artificial in there. You'll be good in a week, but your blood vessel is intact. We can repair it, but it's going to take 3 months. I said, I'll take the 3 months.
Was my next question was like,
put it back together.
Yeah. You know, like there's a story like Owen Hart, you know, the Owen Hart story, like he lost one of his balls from a fucking leaf.
Yeah. I have heard of that. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, no, I just said like, no, I'll take it 3 months. They're very dear to me. So put it back together and
still plan on using them.
Well, you know, it was a very, very interesting time in my life, but that was the reason why I was out for, and that's when I came back against Johnny Gargano at, I think it was War Games. Very gnarly. That was probably my worst injury up to date, knock on wood. So like I said, nothing ever, no injury in wrestling ever happens on like something very, very cool or, you know, and then obviously there's a lot of people that have had very tragic incidents on certain things, you know. But for the majority of the part, it's like, you know, you walk up the steps and you kind of take a misstep and your back blows out or something, or like a disc slips or something. You take a hip toss and you go, oh, something went wrong right there. You know what I mean? I've heard more stories like that than like people saying, you know, I tried this crazy top rope move and lo and behold, I broke, you know. And they're out there, but for the most part, I think there's like some weird written rule in wrestling that you can only get injured on the silliest of things. And I've definitely been part of that part of that process.
Yeah. Usually routine shit, man. That's when does it. But it's amazing to me how, you know, we could get hurt like that and still push through. Like when I tore my asshole, like I finished the match, you know, I broke my neck both times. Actually, the second time I didn't, but I finished the match for the first time.
Yeah,
you know, and it worked for a couple of weeks. But like, it's amazing, man, because like you pushed through, and then like obviously it was enough to make
pain.
Yeah,
just a different threshold of pain. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know why, but it's, I don't know. I think we're so used to getting hit that just like that's just another hit. If that makes sense.
I was ringside when Sean tore his asshole the first time, and I really thought that was like the most painful wrestling injury I'd ever heard. And then I just heard yours, and I think you win. My testicle got busted.
I don't know, man. Like this, like the thing is, like there's so many nerve endings around the area where, Sean had so his had his injury. Like there's, there's just not a good conversation here. It's just
good way to end the interview.
No better way to end a wrestling interview than talking about balls and butts. I think that's like, you know,
balls and butts. There we go. That should be the title of this thing as well. Yeah, Malachi Black, balls and butts. There we go.
Dude, you've given us a ton of your time today, Tommy. I really appreciate it,
you guys having me, man. Thank you so much. Man, it's fun having these conversations. That feels like you're just talking to some friends. And hopefully you don't say anything stupid. I'm sure I've said plenty of stupid things, but thank you guys very much for having me. This is a very, very, very fun conversation. I appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
Hey, my best to Thea and man, I hope to see you soon, Tommy.
I hope to see you soon too, man. Appreciate you.
Welcome back to the game show portion of Pro Wrestling for Life. It is me, your weekly game show host here of Pro Wrestling for Life. It is Nick Hausman. And coming to the show right now, the man who each week goes head-to-head with one of the loyal Pro Wrestling for Life patrons. It is, of course, Sean X-Pac Waltman, two-time Hall of Famer. Sean, welcome back to the game. Welcome back to the game show.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yada yada.
You look like you're in your soundproof booth or something like that with your headphones right now.
I am.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Very expensive soundproof booth that we've got here. So Sean, you're going to be going head to head today with a returning contestant. He is currently 1-0 against you. He's looking to go 2-0 today. It is Brian Mullaney. Brian, welcome back to Pro Wrestling for Life.
You know, they say that birthdays only come once a year, but it's twice a year that I get to beat a two-time WWE Hall of Famer.
Oh, okay. All right. So trash talking here up top from Brian. Okay. Got it. Wonderful. All right. Well, we'll see.
Hey, did you fucking practice that in the mirror 20 times before this? Tough guy.
I had a couple lines ready to go.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, hey. A
couple lines of the shoot.
Not
all right.
Bad.
All right,
not
all right.
Not at all, Brian.
Promo game, I'll give it 6 out of 10. So we have a very special game here today for you and for Brian and Sean. Now, I'm calling this game this week, In Time we'll all be superstars. So one of the big stories of this past week was, of course, the release of 13 WWE NXT Superstars. So what I thought I'd do here today is I prepared 13 questions, one question about each superstar or talent that was released this past week by WWE NXT. I'm going to ask Sean and Brian back and forth the questions. They're all multiple choice. So you don't need to know anything off the top of your head. You can take a random guess if you like. At the end of this, whoever has the most questions right is going to be our winner here today. To decide who goes first here today, we are going to have an NXT-related question. So today is Tuesday, August 10th, 2021, when we were recording this game show. So as of today, Tuesday, August 10th, it is Wade Barrett's birthday. To decide who's going to go first, we're going to see who can guess closer without going over how old Wade Barrett is. I'll defer to you first, Brian. Brian, how old do you think Wade Barrett is today?
Ooh, I'm going to say a strong 43.
43. All right, Sean, how old do you think Wade Barrett is here today?
39.
Wow, Sean actually wins. Wade Barrett turns 41 today.
What?
You were over, Brian. Sean was the closest without going over.
Price is right rules.
Congratulations, Sean. You get to go first here today.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Such a nightmare from the defending Sean Waltman. All right. First question. Which superstar did Leon Ruff tag with in the 2021 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic? Was it Damian Priest, Tyler Rust, or Kushida? Sean?
Priest.
It was not Damian Priest. I'm sorry. The answer was Kushida. Kushida is the man that tagged with Leon Ruff. Back to you now, Brian. Which fellow former WWE superstar is credited with training Giant Zangier? Is it Sean Daivari, the Great Khali, or Armando Alejandro Estrada?
I'm going to go Great Khali.
You are correct. The Giant Zangier was, in fact, credited with being trained by the Great Khali. So 1-0 here. Sean, back to you. In 2018, a new vignette aired for Kona Reeves in NXT, advertising him with what moniker? Was it the fastest Kona Reeves, the finest Kona Reeves, or the trash man Kona Reeves?
Is this for me?
For you, yes. Was it the fastest?
The finest.
It was the finest Kona Reeves. That is correct. Knew that one pretty quickly there. All right, so we are 1-1 here. Back to you, Brian. Zechariah Smith played for what notable basketball team before joining the WWE? Was it the Washington Generals, the Harlem Globetrotters, or the Chicago Bulls?
I'm going to say the Harlem Globetrotters.
That is not correct. I'm sorry. The correct answer was the Washington Generals, believe it or not. Yeah, Zechariah Smith played
for the Washington. They're not even a real fucking team.
I said notable basketball team. I didn't say legitimate NBA team. Notable. They're a notable basketball team.
They are enhancement talent.
It's true. All right. Well, we are one apiece here. Sean, a chance for you to take the lead. In now former WWE NXT referee Stephen Smith, in his final tweet before being released, he either A, praised the new Suicide Squad movie, B, congratulated Gable Steveson for his gold medal win, or C, trashed the Alexa Bliss Lily angle from Raw. Which of those three things do you think was the last tweet Stephen Smith had before being released as an NXT ref, Sean?
Gable Steveson.
It was Gable Steveson. That is correct. Yes, he had a nice tweet there. Gable Steveson won the gold medal. That puts Sean up 2-1. All right. Brian, what fast food chain does Ari Sterling have an outspoken love for? Is it Burger King, Taco Bell, or Bojangles?
Got to be Bojangles,
it
right?
It is not Bojangles. Come on, man. Alex Zane.
Oh!
The sauce, Alex Zane? It's Taco Bell, bro.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is not going well.
No, it is tacoing well. That is right. That is correct.
You're so pathetic, Brian.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
I'm upset about that one. Okay, Sean.
This is bringing back the flashbacks of my childhood.
Serious competition.
Jesus. Toss. All right. Back to you, Sean. Which pro wrestler and recent AEW competitor did Asher Hale hold the Evolve Tag Team Championships with? JD Drake, not Ryan Nemeth, or Daniel Garcia?
Daniel Garcia.
It is not. It was JD Drake. I'm very sorry about that. Didn't have. I'm sorry. It's still up 2-1. We'll see if he can come back. Brian, which NXT faction was Tyler Rust a part of when he was released by WWE? Hit Row Records.
Diamond Mine, baby. Don't even need the options.
Okay, 2-2 flat, straight up. 2-2. Back to Sean. You are correct, by the way. It was Diamond Mine. How many times did Desmond Troy qualify for the NCAA championships as an amateur wrestler? 2, 3, or 4 times, Sean?
3.
It was 3. That is correct. He is up 3-2.
He's a hell of a fucking wrestler. Yeah. I have a lot. He's going to, if he wants to keep doing this, he'll make it somewhere. That guy's very talented.
Okay. All right. Nice. All right. All right. A little put over here in the game show. Brian, over to you. It is 3-2 right now. On which reality TV show was Jake Atlas offered his WWE contract? Was it Tough Enough, The Challenge, or Undercover Boss?
Tough Enough.
I'm sorry. It was actually Undercover Boss, a fantastic episode if you've never seen it. Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, the one with Steph McMahon?
Yeah. Jake Atlas, he comes out as being gay and a wrestler, and they sign him, and he's the first gay wrestler. Right. And the whole
damn.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Sean's still up 3-2. Hey, Sean, what was the ring name of Mercedes Martinez when she was briefly part of Retribution? Was it Reckoning, R3, or Retaliation?
Retaliation?
It was Retaliation. Yes, Reckoning was Mia Yim.
Oh, damn.
4-2, right. Brian. I hate to break it to you. I have two more questions. All one right. About Bronson Reed, the other about Bobby Fish, but the game is over. You have lost. Sean Waltman has beaten you today.
Suck it, Brian.
Sean is one.
Wow.
Now go lick your wounds and come back some other time down the road. Once you're healed up, mother.
Rubber match, man.
All right. We'll have you back, Brian, real quick. Where can people go follow you on social media? What is your Twitter handle and all of that?
So Twitter handle, only place you can find me at Bacon Treasury. And just a real quick shout out to my boys, Jersey J, Josh Johnson, Ryan Wukic, and Dr. Dummy Jake Figner.
Cool. Thank you, Brian. You've been wonderful.
See, that's Brian. My click, Sean. That's my click. Later, guys.
All right, everyone. That's it for this edition of Pro Wrestling for Life. Thank you to Malachi Black, Brian Mulroney, coming on and get his ass whipped by me. Come back again sometime. Let your wounds heal up. Anybody else I'm forgetting that?
No, you're not. And I did meant to mention this up top. I'll mention it here in the back part. We have a brand new watch along available over on the Pro Wrestling for Life Patreon. We welcome Roy Lucier to the Patreon for the first time. He's the guy who went out and has this huge archive of hard to find tapes and VHSs of old matches. And
this call him a curator.
A curator, yes. And we have 1-2-3 Kid of Jerry Lynn versus Pat Tanaka and Bulldog Punish KT from 1992 UWF and
Gorkin Hall.
And it's a really, really fun watch. And it was great having Roy there to watch along with us. So if you like this show, you're looking for even more Pro Wrestling for Life content, go join our Patreon right now and you go check out that watch along.
Yeah. You know, more of that type of stuff is coming. You know, there's a lot of that stuff we're going to, you know, do watch alongs with.
Yes. We have lots of content to get to. I'm at @Nick_Houseman over on Twitter. Come out to Replay Linkin Park this Friday night. AEW Rampage. We're going to have a big party. Anything else, Sean?
Nope. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.